present the theme research on the biological effect of heavy charged particles with different energies. So please, Zhenya, it's your turn.
Dear Chairman, dear colleagues, let me to inform you about our activity in laboratory of radiation biology and ask you I would like to inform you about our proposal for extension of the team research on the biological effect of heavy charged particles with different energy. The main purpose of the team was connected with study the gene and radiation physiological effect of accelerated heavy charged particles. And firstly, I would like very, very briefly to inform you about some results that obtained recently. First of all, about genetic damage in the living cells. You see, we use in our experiments two machines. It is mainly accelerator of heavy ions, U400M, and use different heavy charge particles, for example, boron ions, neon ions, nitrogen ions, with energy up to 50 MeV per nucleon. I think you know that very, very important problem in our science, it is detection of double strand breaks in the living cells. You know that such a very hot DNA damage involved in different important biological injury. It is, for example, cancer induction, chromosomal aberration induction, and other different radiobiological effect. We use in our experiments the very perspective new method. It is a narrow cytochemical method for detection of double strand breaks, for example, in human cells that's presented in this picture. You see each point in the such separate nucleus, it is a nucleus of the living cells, each point detect the double strand breaks. And of course, we can analyze in detail the number of such very hard damage and spatial distribution in the living cells. You see very interesting picture when we irradiate the living cells under angle approximately 10 degree. You see very interesting picture. It is tracks in the separate nucleus, the similar picture as we have in nuclear emulsion. Of course, you understand it is very complicated DNA damage, and we analyzed such specificity of DNA damage and complexity analyzed in separate cells and can predict the possibility of repair of such DNA lesion. Of course, such kinetic of DNA repair very hard in the living cells, and you see from this picture after irradiation by gamma rays and boron ions. It is very important to analyze not only in mammalian and human cells in culture, but also in vivo, in animals. We start such activity in our laboratory and analyze in different part of central nervous system, for example, in hippocampus and in cerebellum of different rodents, mice and rats. The wide spectrum of research was done concerning the study of genomic instability under irradiation in the mammalian cells. We use in our experiments heavy charge particles that generate in accelerator of laboratory nuclear reaction. It is boron ions, oxygen ions, neon ions, and analyze in detail the induction of chromosomal instability after different time after irradiation. In our laboratory, we obtained very wide spectrum of data concerning the induction of chromosomal aberration in different kinds of the living cells. In human lymphocytes, as example, in mammalian cells, and you see after irradiation by carbon ions and gamma rays and proton beams, the dose response relationship and relative biological effectiveness of different kinds of ionizing radiation. I would like to say that such data very interesting and very important to obtain such data for organization using of proton beams and carbon beams for treatment of different type of cancer. And I think such data, of course, will be used our specialists from different institutions that organized the medical treatment for using of carbon and proton beams. We study the genetic effect of different kinds of ionizing radiation, not only when we used mammalian and human cells, but it's very interesting to use in our radiation genetic experiments yeast, different strains of yeast, because we can analyze different kinds of mutation, gene mutation, structural mutation, and you see on this picture the dependence of relative biological effectiveness as a function of linear energy transfer after radiation of different strain of yeast. You see the increasing induction of relative biological effectiveness on such radiobiological assay when the RBE increase dramatically with growing of LET. Such type experiments cannot done, for example, in mammalian cells. It is very, very hard task. Radiation physiology research. This field of research last 3 years was realized by using different beams from phasotron. We use medical protons with energy 170 MeV, and nucleotron, it is carbon ions with such energy, 500 MeV per nucleon. We study the different radiation effect when we irradiate the different animals, for example, mice and rats, and especially very interesting results concern the induction of different lesion after radiation in eyes of the animals. We study the molecular damage in different kinds of the cells in retina, morphological changes, and of course, very interesting functional activity when we study the electroretinogram activity in the living retina cells. Very, very important direction was organized. Experiments was organized in our laboratory when we use when we study the metabolism of the brain neurotransmitters in different parts of the brain in rats. It is very important to compare behavior variation and with level of neurotransmitter after irradiation. In these experiments, was studied different effect after irradiation in early period and late period up to 3 months. In parallel with such type of experiments, we study the morphological changes in the cerebellum and in other part of the brain of the animals after exposure protons with 170 MeV and with after exposure carbon ions with high energy too. It is a very important investigation concern the activity of special cells, microglial cells, that connected with induction of reactive oxygen specimen. We study after irradiation by gamma rays, proton beams, and heavy ions. And it is very important to compare with behavior violation after radiation of animals. We used in our radiobiological experiments not only small animals as mice, rats, but very, very important to study radiobiological effect in monkey. And the first, the initial experiments with monkey was done in our laboratory together with a specialist from different institute of our country. It is Institute of Biomedical Problems, Primatology Institute, and Institute of High Energy Activity also. We study the behavior violation in a monkey, and it is very important to analyze for the violation of such behavior after radiation protons and carbon ions. After carbon ions, we see the shift of right task in animals dramatically. In our sector of mathematical modeling was done a wide spectrum of research concerning the mathematical modeling of mutagenic effect of UV radiation and other type of ionizing radiation, the induction and reparation of double strand breaks after such type irradiation, and wide spectrum of research was done in this sector. In radiation research division was organized a very interesting spectrum research concerning the modeling of planetary soil, and special equipment was constructed in our laboratory together with Institute Space Research Institute, Russian Academy of Science, and Laboratory of Nuclear Problems of our institute. What main field of research we plan in the frame of the team for the next years? In molecular nuclear radiobiology. The main purpose of such field of research will be connected with study induction and repair of DNA structure, not only in culture, but in vivo in different type of the animals. We plan to study the induction of double strand breaks in fibroblast, as was done in this period, not also with radio-resistant tumor cells. And the kinetic of clustered of DNA double strand breaks repair on this type of cells will be done too. It is very important to organize a special radiobiological experiments concerning the repair kinetic of clustered DNA damage after heavy irradiation in neuron, in different kinds of brain in nerve cells. It is very, very important to analyze and elucidate the expression of gene encoding the different proteins that participate in DNA repair processes after heavy ion irradiation too. Especially important to study the molecular disorders in hippocampus because it is part of the brain take part in behavior of animals and analyze the disorders in this part of the brain, very, very important after heavy ion irradiation too. Radiation genetics. We plan obtaining comparative data about regularities and induction in gene structural mutation in mammalian and low eukaryotic cells in yeast. It is, I would like to emphasize that it's very, very important to analyze the induction as a gene mutation in the living cells and structural mutation after irradiation by different kinds of ionizing radiation, because different relationship and different repair mechanism take part in the realization of such type mutation, gene mutation and structural mutation. We studied before in detail the induction of such type mutation after irradiation by heavy ions in prokaryotic cells, in bacteria cells, and now we are ready to analyze such regularities and mechanism in eukaryotic cells too. Mutagenesis in the mammalian cells, especially very important to analyze by using the method multicolor fish. It is a method allow us to analyze in separate chromosome induction of different type mutation. Now the special excellent microscope was bought and we are now expecting the program soft for this machine and will be analyzed in detail the induction of different type chromosomal aberration in separate chromosome, especially in translocation, because such type chromosomal aberration very dangerous for induction of different type of cancer. And this method allow us to analyze the probability of formation translocation in different chromosome and analyzed the risk, cancer risk assessment. Radiation physiology. First of all, about our plans concerning the radiation physiology in eyes retina. It is activity will be connected with analyze the lesion in cellular elements in retina, in especially cells. Functional disorders will be analyzed in retina after radiation by different kinds of ionizing radiation and the ability of the retina to recover. Radiation physiology will be connected to such type activities in our laboratory with identification of the heavy ion-induced functional and morphological disorders in the central nervous system. I explained before in our PSC meeting why it's very important to analyze the disorders in the central nervous system after radiation by heavy ions, because such type data very, very important for solving of different problem in space radiobiology. In this case, the disorders in the central nervous system connected with the evaluation of operator activity of cosmonaut. And of course, very important to modeling by using accelerator on the ground. In this type of our work, we plan to study morphological disorders in different part of central nervous system, study exchange of monoamines and the metabolites in different part of the brain, study the very important activity in special part of the brain. It is a hippocampus where neurogenesis realized. And of course, by using different test, physiological test, study the behavior violation after radiation by heavy ions. And very important to analyze the possibility by using different pharmacological drugs for protection of the formation of different damage in the central nervous system. Such type of activities will be organized in our laboratory too. Concerning the important part of our activities, radiation neurochemistry, about our future plans, connected with using a new approaches, new apparatus for analysis of the level of neurotransmitter and metabolites in different parts of the brains of different laboratory animals. And as I said, that very important to analyze in monkey. Now we organized a big program with specialists from different institutions in our country, with Institute of Primatology, Institute of Biomedical Problems, Institute. Chair of High NERA activities in Moscow State University, when we used approximately 15 animals which learn to perform different computer tasks. And after radiation, heavy charged particles, we plan to irradiate krypton ions, and maybe argon ions, and the future our experiments at Nucleotron. We will be analyze the violation behavior in these animals too. It's very important because men and monkey very close in phylogenetic states. Concerning mathematical modeling, our plan connected with realization, development, and analysis of mathematical models of the molecular mechanisms of ionizing radiation-induced disorders in CNS structure and functions. In such type activities will allow us to obtain to have theoretical prediction of CNS disorders and estimation of relevant risk for the interplanetary mission. It's very, very important task for a space radiobiology. Well, radiation research. Radiation research will be connected with the improvement of estimation of the nucleotron contribution to total radiation situation depending on the timing schedule of the NICA complex operation, and modeling the actual condition of the radiation in space with accelerated-based radiation experiments. The first one you see on this picture, and the second one in this picture. I would like to say that Professor Timoshenko in detail told you about such type activities on the last our PEC meeting, and maybe later in detail in the lobby explain our activities in this field. Such our plans. These plans are very wide, and of course each direction is very, very wide too. And of course the successful of our activities will be connected with success of accelerator of heavy charged particles at nucleotron. At nucleotron we expect the accelerator of heavy charge particles similar iron ions, krypton ions. It is very important for analysis and compare with sparsely ionizing radiation as similar proton beams. Well, thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Evgeny. Actually, we have again three reviewers. The first one is not present, I guess, Professor Arutyuk Nyunyan. Okay, and Oleg will present his review.
Yes, this is a brief report from Professor Arutyuk Nyunyan, who is academician secretary of the section of natural sciences of National Academy of Sciences of Republic of Armenia. This referee report starts with a summary of the results that were obtained during the last years within this theme. So it is underlined that these results are quite important and they meet the recent newest directions of modern radiation biology, present-day radiation biology. And the second part of the referee report is focused on the new suggestions by the authors concerning the new techniques, concerning the new studies, in particular for the studies for investigation of CNS functions after irradiation, after action of different types of radiation. This is one of the newest activity within this theme. So that in basically referee summarized this proposal as a well-formulated and supports its approval and extension of this theme and project for the next 3 years, starting from 2018 to 2020. This is positive. Yeah.
Thank you very much. Second review comes from Professor Dubnichkova. So, Martina,
The structure of the proposal is the same, or this referee, as previous, but other things. Report of research and of significance in the present proposal of project is innovative of the soundness of the challenge in radiation risk for the interplanetary manned human flights. This damage of radiation risk is based on two established facts. First one is the exposure cost changes in the integrative functions of the brain, and secondly, the interplanetary flights will be not completed with success. The main fields of space radiobiology research calls for changes in all experimental systems. The working out new radiation safety standards for space flights is now the future of new experimental design in this research field. The present team is based on results from previous research team, and it continue and could widespread them. Now I start with appropriateness. The project is based on the insights gained from molecular genetics and from applications of resource problems during the risk estimation. Designed experimental advance requirements of planned experiments are real clearly and are exactly explained in the application form of this funding of the project. From the point of view of technical ability, modern research of such problem requires a wide range of the main methods from molecular biology and the methods from condensed matter physics, as is thus laboratory of radiobiology in the GINR. Project takes into account of all planned participants. Coordination by the GINR organization is the right choice for conducting an evaluation of proposed radiobiological studies among the all participant institutions. The methodology of the proposed project is convincing in showing main fields. The research is within the frameworks of the team as of regulatories of mechanisms of molecular cell tissues and system of the human organism damage. So it means of all levels which you have to use during this the scientific research. Authors clearly list the expected results in next 3 years. And these expected results are well formulated and realistic based on the previous research. Availability of the human resource, the experimental evidence of the radiation damage is formed, and to request funding is realistic for the estimated budget. Responsibility of all staff resources for the activities are on the good level. The extent of the project realization is based on the practicable plan for basic and applied research for all cooperating institutions or organizations. After weaknesses and also strengths, I have to evaluate this project that is on excellent level, and the continuation of the topic generally addresses the expected project criterion, and also this project is recommended to continue with full financing of required amount of this team. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Martina. And the last review will be presented again by Oleg, since Professor Orlov is also not present.
Yes, the last referee report from academician Orlov, who is director of the Institute of Biomedical Problems in Moscow. And his referee report that is also positive, focused on three major points. First one is, appreciation of the results which are previously produced within the last 3 years. It is mentioned that some of the results are of unique character, especially for the such practical problems like interplanetary flights, etc. So second point is the point that this project, the newly proposed project, is of fundamental character, and it is also quite important and meet the many directions of present-day radiation biology. And the third point is a close cooperation with the Institute of Biomedical Problems, which is headed by the referee who presented this report. So this is actually no any remarks or criticism. That's referee report is quite positive on this proposal. So
thank you very much. So obviously we have again three very positive reports. Nevertheless, you may wish to have comments, questions, both to Professor Fesavin as well as to the reviewers. Yes.
Bishop. Женя, non-serious question. Many years ago, more than 50 years ago, my elder collaborators and friends told me that in low energy transfer, at the same small dose of irradiation, very positive for human body. This observation, they based on the people, life of people, on the high level above sea, around 4,000 meters. And this observation concerning the many people achieve 100 years of middle age. What's your opinion today? Well, yeah. Irradiated constantly, sure. By cosmic rays and so on.
Do you see, it is a very old problem. In Russia, I expressed as a освежающий effect. Refresh effect, absolutely. Do you see, in our science, in radiobiology, exists a special term. It is forgot. No. It is special term. Really, when long years ago, when X-rays and gamma rays were used in radiobiological experiments, for example, after irradiation, different seeds and others, and the specialists demonstrate the very refresh effect of ionizing radiation. In our experiments, when we used very small radiation doses in the living cells, we also see, for example, when we analyze the induction of chromosomal aberration as a function of the dose of ionizing radiation, we see not linear function, but this function, very interesting. Under lower doses, it is we see hypersensitivity. After that, plateau and maybe low effect, and after that, linear function. It's very interesting part of the curve that I think demonstrate us the including of special DNA repair processes under this type of radiation. But for example, we don't use such type conception because for induction of cancer in the world use without tertial conception, because very small doses of ionizing radiation, negligible doses, can increase the induction of cancer.
Thank you very much. I do not see any further. You are happy with that, Mr. Sensei. Okay. So I don't see any further hands raising. So thank you once again. And let us proceed with presenting the next theme by Sergei Kotov, Novel Semiconductor Detectors for Fundamental and Applied Research. So, please, the floor is yours.
Okay. So I'm going to give a brief report and a proposal. Sorry. Okay. Okay, so I'm going to give a brief report and a proposal for prolongation of the project Novel Semiconductor Detectors for Fundamental and Applied Research, which was started in the Laboratory of Nuclear Problems 3 years ago. Page down. Okay, so this is a brief outline of my talk. So first I will give some project overview, then we'll present the project tasks and their accomplishment in the past 3 years. And that's just a list of publications and the research program in the proposal for prolongation of this project in the next 3 years. Then some slides about the project manpower cost estimates for the next three years, and summary and conclusions. Okay, so what was the motivation for this project, and what are the goals? Of course, you know, many planned detectors for future accelerators like linear collider, CLIQ, high luminosity, LHC, muon collider, etc. They require semiconductor detectors with considerably higher improved characteristics than today's detectors. In particular, higher redout peaks, higher granularity, cheaper production cost, of course, and last but not least is the very high radiation hardness, that the requirement for these semiconductor detectors to be operatable up to the absorbed dose of radiation on the level of few megagrays. Of course, secondly, the second motivation was that many built and plans to be built light sources like Petra 3, Exfail in Germany, like Diamond light source in the UK, Soleil in France, they require a new generation of photon imaging detectors with higher spatial resolution and better sensitivity, with lower noise, and with capability to measure single photon energies. And of course, although there are many R&Ds inside GINER in the scope of current experiments like ATLAS or neutrino experiments, and there are no generic detector R&D project in our laboratory and very few in GINER itself that aimed it to meet the requirements of tomorrow detectors. And with the purpose to fill this gap, the project for the development of this novel semiconductor detectors was set up in DNLP. And the goals for this project was like threefold. First of all, of course, this is just basic research and development of new type of semiconductor detectors. In particular, semiconductor detectors with high radiation hardness and based on new materials. And second main branch of our research was this hybrid pixel detectors with high spatial resolution for nuclear and particle physics and for photon imaging. And of course, we need to develop infrastructure to characterize these new detectors and test them on different beam test facilities in GINER, like Nucleotron, IBER2, and so on. And of course, the last but not least goal was to establish collaboration efforts with different research groups from other fields in feasibility studies of applying these newly developed detectors for various aspects of research in science and technology, in particular in biomedical research and geophysical research. So what were the main deliverables for the project, which was established 3 years ago, and how far we accomplished these goals? So basically, we wanted to systematically study radiation hardness of these detectors based on this modified gallium arsenide sensors with beams of neutrons, gamma rays, electrons, and charged hadrons. We planned in cooperation with DESI to produce like 50 gallium arsenide sensors in hexa topology, that is the sensors with 40 centimeters, 40 by 30 millimeters area. And these sensors will be used in the beam lines of Exfail and Petra 3 in Germany. Of course, we wanted to produce a prototype of hybrid pixel detector with a very thick sensor, larger than 1 millimeter, and investigate its characteristics. We wanted to produce a hybrid pixel detector for detecting neutrons and fission fragments, also to develop the software for particle identifications by analyzing cluster shapes in these detectors. And finally, we also wanted to compare the radiation hardness of gallium arsenide and silicon sensors at high energy electron beams. And also we wanted to participate in the manufacturing of the prototype for FCAL collaboration for the linear collider. And also we planned to produce a prototype of low background time peaks detector to be used in this TGV, two experiment, and to produce a prototype for tracking hadoscope based on time peaks to study the relativistic hypernuclear decays at nucleotron. But these two goals were not fulfilled, and I will say later why. Okay, so first of all, how the realization of the project went concerning the semiconductor radiation resistant detectors. We performed several beam tests of our gallium arsenide sensors. I first have to mention that this gallium arsenide sensors, this is a development of the Tomsk State University. This is a sort of patented technology of the Tomsk University, and only they are the only one in the world who can produce this type of sensors. So, first of all, we put these gallium arsenide sensors in the neutron beam and EBER-2 in 2015. Actually, this high fluence was too high for them, and we killed the sensors like immediately. But also in this year, we sent our sensors to SLEC to perform comparative measurements of radiation hardness of this silicon and gallium arsenide sensors on electron beam in SLEC. In the 2016, actually, was the main year when we conducted the largest chunk of our systematic comparative studies of radiation hardness of two types of gallium arsenide sensors. This is the so-called high resistivity gallium arsenide and barrier type gallium arsenide, and compare with these sensors with the silicon sensors. And these studies were performed in the LINAC 200 and EBER-2 sources in our neutron lab. And below you can see actually the main results of this year studies. Here you can see the dependence of the charge collection efficiency versus the absorbed dose for gallium arsenide sensors. This is for the silicon sensors. For the 20 MeV electron beam. And you can see what the main point here, up to the dose of 1.5 megagrays, the gallium arsenide sensors still have some about 20% of efficiency for charge collection. And basically what's the difference between the cadmium, the silicon and gallium arsenide here is that for silicon, the dark current is increased by like three orders of magnitude after the radiation by 1.5 megagrays. And for the gallium arsenide, the dark current is increased only by like factor of three or four. So in this respect, the gallium arsenide is much better. And the last thing, earlier this year, we also conducted the comparative studies of radiation hardness of gallium arsenide in silicon and cadmium silicon. Sensors in the medium influence of neutrons, and here you can see that actually up to the fluence of 1.10 into the 14th degree, the gallium arsenide have about 50% charge collection efficiency. So this is quite a good material for using. To be used in detectors under high fluxes of particles. So the second goal, how the project realization went for concerning the hybrid pixel detectors. So as I said earlier, we plan to produce a lot of hybrid pixel detectors based on time peaks readout chip. And these were smaller, not so thick sensors, and actually we acquired about 30 of these detectors, and we studied their capabilities in detecting neutrons, fusion fragments, and charge tracks on general basic facilities, like I said, in EGA5, nucleotron, EBER, and U40M, U400M. We also fulfilled the production of these 50 sensors for in-hexa topology for DESI to be used in the beam lines of Excel and Petra. And we actually failed in producing a prototype of gallium arsenide-based hybrid detector for TGV experiment, and this is mainly due to some sort of complications with the TGV experiment itself. We actually managed to put a chunk of gallium arsenide material into MODAM shaft. So, and it turned out that this material itself is very sort of has a very low radioactivity. So actually, the gallium arsenide sensors can be used to for production of this detector prototype, and we actually plan to fulfill it later in the next in the prolongation of the project. And of course, the last thing which mentioned here, this was not the part of the initial proposal. It came out like from extra budgetary funding, and we proposed to install several timepiece detectors having gallium arsenide sensors in the Atlas cavern to measure the radiation field characteristic and induced radioactivity. And this proposal was accepted by Atlas, and actually we, like I said, and earlier this year we installed like 10 gallium arsenide timepiece detectors in the Atlas cavern and taking data now from them and trying to analyze them. And in 2016 we produced a gallium arsenide based pixel detector of high thickness, larger than 1 millimeter. We participated in the manufacture of the first model of the FCAL calorimeter in collaboration with DESY and SLAC. Also, we developed methods and algorithms for the identification of neutron and fusion fragments and images from timepiece detector. And earlier this year, we also started to construct a prototype of neutron monitor based on timepiece detector. We probably will finish it by the end of this year. We have a working prototype for neutron detection. And one of the failed tasks, this is constructing a prototype for tracking gyroscope for nucleotron. Actually, this turned out that the readout electronics we have for our detectors just is not capable of handle the high data flux from this from this data acquisition system, so we just need the high rate, faster electronics to be able to produce this sort of gyroscope. Okay, so now just few pictures with results from our studies over the last 3 years. So here you can see what's just to remind probably what the hybrid pixel detector is. It is a semiconductor sensor, which is bump bonded to a specialized readout chip. In our case, we use the Medipex family of readout chips developed by Medipex collaboration in CERN. Here you can see the picture, typical picture for the timepiece detector. By the way, this is like 4 centimeters by 4 centimeters in size, and we have about, as I said earlier, about 30 or 40 of these detectors in different different carrier boards. Of course, before we can use these detectors, we have to calibrate them. So this is the X-ray station for calibration of our detectors. And actually, we developed a very sort of like time-consuming actually procedure for energy calibration. And here you can see one of the examples of spectra from the cesium radioactive source. And you can see here this is 660 keV peak from cesium, and you can see here the energy resolution on this peak is less than 5%. So we have rather good energy resolution of these detectors. And on this plot, you see the dependence of the energy resolution versus the energy of the photon. So the energy resolution is about 15% at 17 keV, and then it goes, it improves with efficiency with the energy, and at the energy of 60 keV, it's about 5%. So here another example, just as I said, the procedure for identifying the type of clusters in our detectors. Here you can see some examples of clusters from the different particles, like from neutron, from electron, from protons, and from heavy nuclei. And we use two parameters, D1 and D2, to plot these clusters on the two-dimensional plot, and we can see that basically below this line we see the clusters produced in electromagnetic interactions, and above this is clusters from all sort of hadronic events. Okay, concerning the development of infrastructure for characterization of detectors, we in 2015 we actually assembled, we created the testing bench with probe station for measuring characteristics of semiconductor detectors like voltage current characteristic, capacitance current characteristic, and so forth. Then this test bench is installed in our clean room, which we refurbished from earlier times. Also, we installed the ultrasonic welding machine to perform small repairs on our wire bonds. We also mastered how to use this machine. And actually, in the beginning, that was the goal was to acquire some equipment for performing flip chip bonding of our sensors to readers, but it was not fulfilled just because of budgetary cuts, shortcomings. Okay, so what we mainly do with our detectors, we perform different types of applied studies. Particularly, we use this Mars computer tomography scanner, and we developed and improved software for control of this scanner. We performed some feasibility studies for identification of X-ray contrast media by spectral data. Main focal point of our group was to develop the development of in-house software for CT image processing, aimed at biological and geophysical studies. So we used our software to perform some scans of different biological and geological samples. And one of the development of this year, actually, this determination of the potential of spectral tomography for identification of mineral phases in ore and minerals. Okay, so just a few slides about our applied study. So this is this Mars CT scanner, which we got from our New Zealand colleagues. This is so here just example of our improvements after alignment and calibration of this scanner. This is a picture of plastic ring with two crossed tungsten wires before alignment and calibration. This is after alignment and calibration. You can see considerable improvement. And this picture is just a picture of reconstruction of 2.7 millimeter aluminum wire. And you can see this picture is used to determine our spatial resolution. And actually, the spatial resolution achieved in our tomograph is about 30 microns. Here are some examples of our bare medical scans. Here, the atherosclerotic plaque in carotid artery. And you can see this in blue, this is calcinized. And this brownish color is just some cholesterol, I guess, or something like soft tissue. And here, another example of the abdominal aortic aneurysm. So this is also calcinite on the walls of the blood vessels, which sort of can indicate how dangerous this aneurysm is, or how dangerous this atherosclerotic plaque, and whether the surgery is needed or not. And here below, this is a reconstruction of my mouse in our tomograph. And you can see actually the level of details of every little bone in the skeleton of a mouse can be seen. Okay, here are the few examples of our geological scans. Here, this is magnetite rock enriched by inclusions of titanium minerals, these yellow scans. This is chrome spinelids inclusions in olivine rock. And here, not very good seeing. This is just cracks and pores and some core samples extracted from oil-bearing rocks. We tried to study actually porosity of this core of these samples, but it turned out that the spatial resolution of our tomograph is not enough to actually make some conclusive statements about the porosity of this mineral. So we need to improve the spatial resolution. Okay, so here's just a brief video of how the 3D reconstruction of our scans works. And actually, this is our own software. So we developed the full chain of CT reconstruction to produce all these nice images. You see, this is the mouse. Apparently, the mouse ate something not digestible. Here the example of how... Okay, too fast. So just compare of current level of angiography with the level of details which can be achieved by our tomograph. So this is the stent in a carotid, and this is one of the magnetite rock. It should be, yeah, okay. So you can see this homogeneous inclusions of titanium oxide minerals. Okay. So last example of our activities at Applied Studies, this so-called spectral computed tomography. The idea of this spectral computed tomography that you make scans of your samples using particular energy beams of radiation, and then comparing the reconstructed images for different energy beams of radiation, you can sort of reconstruct the linear absorption attenuation coefficients for different materials, and using some calibrations beforehand, you can actually assign to different colors of this image material. So here, actually, different colors correspond to different solutions of gold, gadolinium, or calcium. So this is just preliminary studies, but we hope to develop it and to make some very useful research using this spectral tomography. Okay, so this is just a flash how the hybrid pixel detector workflow goes and what was the improvement since the project started. So actually, this in yellow, this is what can be done inside Junior now. Before the project, nothing was done in Junior, everything was done outside. But currently, the operations which are conducted outside is just dicing, bonding, and wiring of the readout chips and sensors. And we use usually the Advocam company in Finland or this ASI company in Netherlands. And then we use some, again, acquired outside readout interface to produce detectors which are actually then can be calibrated and be used in real applications. And the final goal of the project, and one of the probably goal for the prolongation, is try to put everything inside Gina, try to install the full chain of operation of production, of producing the hybrid pixel detectors. Here just the list of publications for the last 3 years. So basically there's a total of 12 publications, 6 of them related to X-ray computed tomography, 4 related to hybrid pixel detectors characterization, 1 about this FCAL prototype, 1 patent application for hybrid pixel detectors. So it's, and I should say that 2 more publications are almost ready for submission. 1 about this studies of radiation hardness of gallium arsenide, and 1 about this gallium arsenide PIX project and Atlas. Okay, so what we plan to do for the prolongation of the project. So this is a program for semiconductor detectors in development. It's basically we want to continue studies of radiation hardness of gallium arsenide detectors. For this, we plan to collaborate with Tongs in trying to introduce some new doping impurities to compensate for the effects of the charge carrier traps in the material. We also, for this purpose, we plan to acquire the station for performing deep level transient spectroscopy. We plan to further develop the algorithm for identification of particles in hybrid PIX detectors, particularly develop algorithm based on deep learning neural networks. We plan to build a prototype of detectors for neuton registration and for determination of fast neutron spectrum using different converters with different neutron thresholds. Of course, we plan to accumulate a lot of data from our GasPix Atlas system, analyze it, this data. We, again, plan to perform studies of hyper PIX detector response to passage of heavy charged particles. And of course, one of the failed tasks in the previous years we plan to make a detector for this tracking hodoscope for the nucleotron. Concerning the expansion of infrastructure in the next 3 years, we plan, as I mentioned earlier, again, a DLTS station, some small upgrades to existing stations like new power supplies and so on. One of the biggest tasks for extension of research infrastructure is the creation of the second tomograph, which will be used large area pixel detector with stationary camera and the rotatable table. And of course, we also plan to develop our own readout carrier board for Meditech chips. Okay, and there is a list of applied studies. Basically, everything, first of all, the development of to some usable stage of spectral microtomography, investigation of fine structure of calcium deposits, identification of fat tissue in small animals for the investigation of. Okay, so a lot of, but basically this is continuation of all the tasks which we performed earlier. Okay, so the manpower is basically like something 25 people from three laboratories, mostly from Gelepov Laboratory of Nuclear Physics. This is cost estimates of the projects, materials, basically just for sensors, for readout chips. This is a DLTS station. This is mostly for a second tomograph. Of course, this is some equipment for electronics labs. And this is a list of our cooperation partners. Basically, it's Germany, DESI, Cuba, New Zealand, a lot of medical institutes in Russia, and the Czech Republic, and Switzerland, CERN itself, with Medipix collaboration. So, in summary, so the project, novel semiconductors detectors for naval applied studies, accomplished pretty much all of its planned tasks in the last 3 years. I didn't say it before, but the existence of this project itself allowed to attract extra-budgetary finance subsidies from the Russian Ministry of Education within the framework of the joint German-Russian project Galapagos 2. And due to this project, Jinder became a full member of Medipix collaboration, so we can acquire Medipix chip quite cheaper than before. And of course, many areas of investigations will also need to require further studies and development, and we ask committee to support our proposal and to approve the prolongation for the next stage. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much for the presentation. As far as I understand, none of the reviewers is present, so all the three reviews will be presented by our secretary.
The first referee reports come from the member of our program advisory committee, Nikolai Kardzilov, who is unfortunately absent this day. This is quite a comprehensive referee report. It's about 3 pages. I will just summarize the most important points of that. First, it is mentioned that the project is very general and it has an impact over the large number of scientific units like instrumental groups, large-scale facilities, different institutes, etc. It is noted that the main impression from the proposal is that it closely follows the criteria of evaluation as we usually use to evaluate the projects addressed to our committee. In particular, as for the scientific merit, it is mentioned that the project is quite multidisciplinary. It is also a strong point of this proposal and the activities in this project that DLNP entered in the Medipix collaboration, which is currently includes a number of very large institutions like Berkeley National Laboratory, CEA, CERN, DESI, and some others now. It is important that this project address the very important technique of new generation of microcircuits based on technology process of 65 nanometers. As for the expertise of the group and technical feasibility of the project, it is also a positive opinion of the reviewer. For example, the existence of adequate expertise is mentioned in DLNP and in particular in the team that is working on this project. It is mentioned that planning goals in the second term of project for the 3 years are realistic and correspond to the expertise of the DLNP staff. As for the compliance of the requested financial resources, it is noted that the requested resources fully comply with the objectives of the project. It is also mentioned the availability of enough human resources of good quality to fulfill this project and to implement the tasks that are suggested for the the next 2 years. In a conclusion, Dr. Kardzielow mentioned that project is should be fully supported and approved by our Program Advisory Committee for the next 3 years. This is a basic conclusion of a referee from the Program Advisory Committee. The next referee report is presented by Chief Researcher of IHEP, Professor Vorobyov. His referee report is also positive. As for the prolongation of the project, it is mentioned that the goals of the projects looks realistic and achievable within the next 3 years. It is noted that the project extension is focused on the further development of semiconductor technologies at GNR. That is also is important for GNR, by the opinion of the referee. The project asks for the minimum necessary equipment to perform the work, by the opinion of the referee. The team of authors has good experience in precision calorimetry, coordinate detectors, X-ray microtomography, which are the techniques that are addressed by the project. And he is also recommends to extend the project for the next 3 years. The final report is presented by Professor Zamatin from our institute. It is also mentioned a lot of scientific benefits of this project and techniques that are suggested to be used within the next 3 years. There is also only one remark in the end of the referee report. The referee report is quite positive, but just one remark mentioned that on the other hand, the authors undertake to fulfill a great deal of technological tasks, including bonding, assembly, and chemical procedures. And the referee also thinks that the procuring of an expensive DLTS spectrometer and deep-level spectroscopy may lead away, probably, from achieving the ultimate goals of the related of the project related to the detector. And probably it would be simpler to find expert in dedicated institution, like, for example, BSU in Minsk in Belarus, or Gerdmet in Moscow, and to establish some scientific cooperation in that sense for studying radiation-induced defects with this detector. So it is positive, but just some comments by referee expressed in the end of this referee report. So this is just a summary of three referee reports that we have for this project, for this proposal.
Thank you very much, Oleg. Questions, comments? So I think basically all the three reports are positive. However, there is a little concern concerning the volume of the work, so which is obviously always a problem in many cases. So you have a very long list of collaborators, participants, and so on and so on. However, it is not quite clear, at least for me, how many FTE, so full-time equivalent, is assigned to one person. So maybe one's contribution is only 0.02%, or I don't know what. Well, I'm joking, of course, but very low. And others may contribute in 80% or even 100%. Mm-hmm. This is unfortunately not quite clear, and as long as it's not clarified, it is hard to say whether it's really realistic or not.
It's not all full 50As for these 25 people, so it's, for most of them it's half time.
Okay. Yeah, Professor Fuchs.
I should like to ask you what your main purpose is, to develop a new detector and to sell it afterwards, or to do scientific experiments with the detector? It was not clear to me.
The purpose is mostly development of software and development of full chain reconstruction of CT images and using of these new detectors. We of course don't produce them, we mostly just acquire them. So use of these new detectors to perform different applied studies in collaboration with our colleagues from different universities. So
May I formulate this question again in terms of my previous comment? What is finally your objective? What will be your output? Will it be a new detector, maybe patents, or will it be excellent publications?
Yeah, of course there will be publications, there will be new detectors. We're just trying to use one of the studies we're trying to perform this new radiation hard detector, so we're planning to acquire this DLTA station to try and trying to improve this gallium arsenide sensors to be more hard resistive, radiation resistant. That's one of them. Of course, we also plan to use all these new detectors for like CT tomography. In principle, there is a far goal trying to produce our own tomograph for like clinical studies in hospitals. That's why we collaborate with a lot of hospitals and medical universities. So we'll see.
Okay, but in this case, can you present a clear demand from the side of the potential applicants?
Clear viva? Sorry, I don't understand. What's VIMA?
Can you show that who will really apply your detectors?
Who? Here in principle, all these institutes can apply these detectors if we develop a new.
Okay. Of course, these are institutes, and I also believe that you can also. Show us some users in this sense, but what is the topics? What really needs these detectors?
Well, as I said, these detectors can be used in investigating the structure of calcium deposits in atherosclerotic plaques. So there is a lot of medical applications for this tomograph if it will be built. So also some geological companies, like for example, Alrosa, this diamond company which produces the diamonds, they're also trying to build some tomograph which helps to distinguish like potential grains of diamonds in the ore, which moves on their conveyor. So also different geological studies of deposits from samples from mineral deposits, we can study the homogeneity of these useful inclusions in some rocks, and to help the companies to estimate how hard it will be to manufacture, to extract these useful minerals from rock, and so on. For the oil and gas companies, it is very important to estimate the porosity of the rock, of oil-bearing rocks, in order to be able to estimate how easy it will be to extract oil from this. So it's actually a lot of many useful applications for this tomography studies.
And you are already in touch with all those?
Yeah, sure.
And you have a feedback that they really need it and they will apply it?
Yeah, so okay. We in touch with all this. We actually, for example, we have samples of these abdominal aortas and aneurysm from this Mechnikov Institute in St. Petersburg, which were delivered to us by a sub-sun train. We pick them, bring here, analyze them, and send them by the scans in our 3D reconstruction. So it's...
Okay, thank you.
As I said, the goal was to establish, you know, this, where it is, sort of this certain number collective research center for studies with spectral spectroscopy, but it's not yet in the sort of final stage. It's not yet done. So, but we plan in the end to establish sort of this collective center for studies of visual spectral microtomography.
Okay, thank you very much. I don't see any further questions. Sorry, Richard.
Sorry about that. So I just have a comment. So I think it's very nice devices that you're producing here, and it's very nice to see the results from them. I just have a comment to make sure that you do challenge yourself with the applications and using it. Within the Medipix collaboration, there are lots of people who get half a job done and don't actually take it to its full extent. And I think it's very nice where you've got to here, and you need to show that you can then turn that into an application that exists. And I would encourage you to identify with at least one of them to actually challenge and do that. The results and the materials are...
Yeah, that's right. We actually have a couple of persons working on this, developing of our own this carrier board to read out the MIDI-PIX chip itself. So we don't have the manpower to help in the development of MIDI-PIX for the chip itself, but we can... We will be able to produce such carrier boards on which we can then using this ball grid array mounting installation, we can mount this MIDI-PIX chip on our carrier boards and use them in different styles. So
thank you very much once again. I think we can stop the discussion at this stage. And the next speaker will be Pavel Horodek, who will present the project Experiment Technology Development and Applied Research with Slope Monochromatic Positron Beam Project PAS and proposal for its extension. That's, by the way, the former LEPTA project, and probably, Pavel, you will explain us why there was a change in the title. So the floor is yours.
Okay, thank you. Good afternoon, my name is Pavel Horodek and I talk about experiment technology development and applied research with slow monochromatic positron beams, so-called Project PAS. And in the frame of this presentation, I try to bring this project closer to you. That's why, after a brief introduction, I try to give you answers on the following questions. What does positron annihilation spectroscopy mean? What do we have at our facility? What do we do there? What do we want to do in the frame of this project? And of course, at the end, short summary. So let me start in this way that the perfect structure is the some kind of idealization of nature, because it can be useful in explanation some theoretically some problems, but in fact the perfect structure doesn't exist. Real materials contain a lot of impurities and defects which have the direct impact on the material properties as resistivity, conductivity. Also, diffusion of impurity atoms can be increased by defects. We should remember that the wear of materials starts on the atomic level, and also optical properties as color depends also on the presence of vacancies. That's why studies of defects in materials are important not only in the field of solid body physics, but also from a material science or material engineering point of view. Positron annihilation spectroscopy is a method sensitive for detection open volume defects as vacancies, their clusters, dislocations, etc. In the frame of this technique, in the frame of this method, we can recognize three main experimental techniques, but only two of them are commonly applied at laboratories in the world. There are Doppler spectroscopy and positron lifetime spectroscopy. Using these techniques, we can evaluate the defect concentration. We can determine the defect concentration profile, for example, in dependence on depth. And finally, but using only positron lifetime spectroscopy, we can also recognize the kind or the size of defect. So I say a little bit about the first technique. The meeting of positron with electron results in an annihilation process. During this process, the mass of annihilating pair will be converted into energy of electromagnetic field. In this way, two usually, because with probability higher than 99%, two gamma quanta with energies of about 511 keV will be emitted. And in the frame of this method, in the simplest case, we register one gamma quantum from two gamma quanta annihilation process. As a result, we should get annihilation line. This line will be always naturally broadened as a result of Doppler effect. And if positrons annihilate inside vacancies, the signal from it we will observe in the shape of less broadened annihilation line, like here. The black line comes from non-defected sample, while the gray one represents the defected one. We can see that the gray line is higher and also less broadened. That's why we can recognize non-defected and defected sample, defected and more defected sample. And of course, in analysis, we don't calculate the broadening, because which is on the level about a few kiloelectron volts, but we focus on the extraction from the line important for us parameters, for example, S parameter, which is strictly connected with defect concentration. The bigger value of defect of S parameter, bigger defect concentration. So to observe it, we need the Doppler spectrometer. The main part of it is high purity germanium detector, and this spectrometer is under operation at our laboratory. The energy resolution of the detector is 1.2 keV at 511 keV. Using Doppler spectroscopy, we can get information about the defect concentration, but we cannot recognize the kind or the size of defects. We can do it using the next technique, which is the lifetime spectroscopy. The electron density inside the defects is the mean implantation, the mean positron lifetime depends on the electron density. And because inside the defects, electron density is lower, that's why it should be reflected in this time. For example, in pure non-defected structure of pure iron, positron will be lived about 110 picoseconds, while in the same structure, but positron trapped inside vacancy will be lived about 175 picoseconds. And this time increases with the increasing the volume of defect. Of course, we can measure these times. In this kind of measurements, we need two signals, start and stop. That's why we can use only sodium 22 positron source. After about 3 picoseconds from the emission, from the positron emission, gamma quantum with energy about 1.2 megaelectron volts is emitted, and we set our apparatus to register this gamma quantum. After that, apparatus starts counting the time, and a stop signal comes from the annihilation process. Then the difference between start and stop gives us the positron lifetime. Of course, in simplicity, because in fact we always get the positron lifetime spectrum, then we deconvolute the lifetime components and their intensities, and as a result, we can relate a given value of lifetime, positron lifetime, with the given kind of defect. And finally, the digital lifetime spectrometer is now under operation out at our laboratory. Here we have this box from TechnoAP, and here Hamamatsu photomultipliers. In this case, we use positron sodium 22 positron source, which is enveloped in two thin titanium foils. This is the source, and in this kind of experiment, our samples are placed, source is placed between two identical samples, and positrons are emitted directly from the source. And the phrase that positrons are emitted directly from the source is very important here, because these positrons are characterized by continuous energy spectrum. It means that they have energy from zero up to some maximal value of energy, which is specific for the given type of isotope. For example, for sodium 22, it's a half of megaelectron volt, while for germanium 68, it's about 2 megaelectron volts. It means that we cannot precisely locate our positrons on the given depth, and additionally, these depths are not small. For example, in the case of implantation of positrons from sodium 22 into aluminium, the mean implantation depth is about 90 micrometers, while the maximal implantation depth is about 400 micrometers. It means that about 63% of primary emitted positrons will be annihilated on the depth 90 micrometers. It means the strongest signal comes from this depth. And please look at this figure. Here we have the mean implantation depth versus density. And in the case of germanium 68, for low density material, the strongest signal will come from the depth about 1 millimeter. It means that all information close to the surface, about changes close to the surface, will be lost. Because in the conventional experiment, we can successfully use these methods, but when we know that the affected zone is relatively deep. If we want to track changes close to the surface, we should use so-called slow positron beam. This is the flux of mono-energetic positrons with energies from a few dozen electron volts up to a few dozen kilo electron volts, and positrons in this form are implanted into the sample. In this way, we can study, for example, thin layers, we can study semiconductors and materials exposed to ion implantation with relatively low energies. So, how to do the slow positron beam? We should shrink this very wide spectrum into this very narrow one. And to do it, we need moderator. For us, moderator is the material characterized by negative work function. And positrons, of course, have to pass through this moderator. Some part of them will annihilate inside. Some part of them will cross as the fast positrons, and some of them will lose energy, will be localized close to the surface, and because of negative work function, they will be removed from the surface. And the most popular moderator in the world is the tungsten foil. In this case, the efficiency factor, it means the efficiency of moderated positrons, is 10^-4. When we use, for example, meshes, we can get this factor 10^-3. But in our case, we use the frozen neon, which gives the factor 10^-3. And additionally, when we add this special geometry of our cells, in this way, we have the factor 10^-2. This is the scheme of our beam moderator, and also sodium 22 positron source is placed here. As I mentioned, on the exit of moderator, we should get both fast and slow positrons. Then they are separated here. Energy of slow positrons is 50 electron volts because the source is under potential 50 volts, and we separate them using electric and magnetic fields. Only 50 electron volts positrons are provided into sample chamber. Samples are under potential, which we can change, and in this way we can accelerate positrons to the demanded energies. I showed you this scheme a year ago, and I talked to you about our plans, because we used to provide our experiments using liquid helium, and also here the sample chamber was placed. Finally, we installed new cryo cooler source, and in this way we can provide experiment without liquid helium, and additionally we constructed new transfer channel to separate our experiments from the old part of facility. Here you can see the main parameters of our beam. Activity of isotope is 30 millikiri, intensity 10^6 positrons per second, energy range between 50 electron volts and 35 keV, and diameter of the flux is between 3 and 5 millimeters. Here you can see how look like the mean implantation depths for slow positron beams. For example, using our beam, we can investigate changes on the depth up to 1.2 micrometer in the case of iron. So what kind of problems are interested for us? For example, problems related with corrosion. Here you can see the results of investigations using slow positron beams of samples of stainless steel, which were annealed in different conditions, in different atmosphere. Here we have the points from the vacuum, here from the air, and here from nitrogen. And in these studies, we observed the creation of oxides on the surfaces. And additionally, we confirmed that nitrogen didn't protect material for corrosion. Additionally, we confirmed the multi-layer character of obtained oxides. For example, the first oxide was probably hematite, and behind it there was distinguished the spinel. Spinel contained a lot of different oxides. Additionally, we found how the thickness of oxides decreased with the time into pressures. These results were in the good agreement with the results obtained from the Rutherford-Beck scattering nuclear reactions. So, tribology. Here you can see the results from the conventional experiments. Sample of the same kind of stainless steel were sunblasted with different angles. We found that the angle of sunblasting have a direct impact on the thickness of the affected zone. Additionally, we found that the defect concentration decreased linearly. And we also prepared the lifetime measurements, and from this kind of investigations, we got information that the kind of defects was independent on the angle. Results related with the ion implantation, samples of palladium, pure palladium, were exposed to kryptonium irradiation with energy 107 megaelectronvolts. We observed that increasing of defect concentration with the dose, and additionally, next to decreasing of defect concentration, probably the size of vacancy clusters was increased with the dose. The another kind of investigations, samples of copper exposed to xenonium ion implantation with energy 167 megaelectronvolts. Here we didn't observe the change, the dependency between the saturation of our profiles and the dose, but the wider analysis gave us information about the decreasing the positron diffusion length. In this way, we can conclude additionally that defect concentration increased with the dose, and another interesting feature was observed close to the surface as parameter decreased with the dose increasing, and in this work we concluded that it was probably related with the corrosion induced by irradiation. And last time of the last example, here the samples of pure iron were investigated using conventional lifetime spectrometer. The energy of xenonium ions was 167 megaelectronvolts. Here you can see the Bragg peak obtained from the stream calculations, and we observed in the implanted region the huge vacancy clusters. But what was interesting, especially for us, that behind the Bragg peak, we observed also the presence of dislocations. And so it was interesting because we supposed to get the similar thickness between the implanted region and damaged region. That's why the main goal of our project are experiments, measurements, experiments. The second goal is the development of our apparatus. Today we can provide measurements using the Doppler spectroscopy based on the slow positron beam and based on the positrons emitted directly from the source. We can also measure lifetimes using sodium 22 positron source, and it is the challenge for us to build the order positron beam, which will allow us to measure positron lifetimes using positron beam. We cannot use our present beam, which is continuous, and in this way we don't have two signals, stop and start. So that's why our idea is very simple. Positrons, the main part of our beam will be RF cavity positrons positron that crosses RF cavity at a certain time, TRFN, will arise at the target independently on this time. As a result, we should get the constant intervals between our positrons, and in this way the measurement of lifetimes should be possible. So, finally, positron annihilation spectroscopy is a sensitive method for detecting structural defects in solids. This method is implemented at our facility in the frame of the project. PAS studies of materials will be provided along with apparatus development, and your agreement on the project will be highly appreciated. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Pavel, for this nice presentation. I would like to call your attention to the fact that actually Pavel's presentation and the submitted proposal should be considered together. It was not exactly the same, understandably. The proposal itself contains a very nice landscape and also a science case. We have three reviewers. Alphabetically, the first one is just myself, so excuse me that I will continue as a referee. As concerning the PAS, positron annihilation spectroscopy, I personally do not like it. I don't like calling it a spectroscopy because it's not a spectroscopy in the sense like NMR or Raman spectroscopy or Mesber spectroscopy or activation analysis. It can never be used as a fingerprint method. Nevertheless, it's very, very important, as also emphasized by Pavel, because it is sensitive to several issues. On one hand, to the electron density, and in this, this is lifetime, spectroscopy, I also use this term, which is sensitive to the electron density, while the others, the Doppler broadening and the gamma-gamma correlation are sensitive to the electron momentum distribution. Okay, there are different projections of it, anyway. But the most important point is, as also emphasized by Pavel, that using positrons, you may detect voids and defects in a concentration scale that is never available for any other method. And the added value of this project is, in my view, that there are very, very few slow positron sources with variable energy in this energy range. It is really a very few ones all over the world, and that's why if GINR will have such a facility, it will be really a cutting edge facility. It won't be just one of many of those, but it will be really something that can be used afterwards also in user regime. As already emphasized, I very much appreciate that for the first time we have already had previous versions of this proposal here. For the first time we have a very clear science case and a very clear landscape, and we can just see where this facility will take place within the landscape. I feel that the objectives have been formulated clearly, realistically, and in some sense in a quite conservative way, because as far as I understand, you are going to develop the pulse source, but within this time scale, you do not promise to complete it yet. If I'm wrong, please correct me, but I think that's also very good. Nevertheless, I very much hope that there will be a bit more progress within these 3 years, as you expect. So, as concerning the financial resources, I feel that they are secured. As concerning human resources, as also in case of other proposals, it's very difficult to judge because I cannot see in detail all the FTEs. However, knowing the group quite well, I know that also this the proposal also in this respect is okay. So in conclusion, I strongly recommend the PAC to support this proposal and to realize it. So.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. The other two reviewers, I wonder whether Volodya Skuratov is here. In the morning he was, but now he does not seem to be here, so then I would like to ask you all to present his review.
The next referee is Dr. Skurata from the Federal Laboratory of Nuclear Reaction. So his referee report mentioned that recently fundamental experimental studies within this project is complemented by applied research in the physics of solid matter and engineering of materials and surfaces using the method of positron annihilation spectroscopy. Then referee mentioned the future features of the equipment developed by the authors of these proposals recently, in particular the new method positron annihilation lifetime spectroscopy, PLLC. So, and finally, it is suggested to continue this project because the group is significantly upgraded the pool of available setups and concerning the within the LEPTA setup. So, and finally, referee suggests to approve the continuation of the project and especially mentioned some cooperation with institutions in Russia and in GNR member states. The next referee report is presented by Dr. Seresin from Wechsler-Balden Laboratory of High Energy Physics. The referee report covers two large parts. First, it includes a detailed explanation of the, let's say, history of this method and the LEPTA facility at Joint Institute. It summarizes the recent achievements within several last years. Actually, it is closely correlates with the points that Pavel mentioned in his report. I would not read it in detail. I will read just maybe final conclusion of the referee. He write that overall the project is original from the point of view of development of new experimental equipment and from the point of view of possible use for users. I mean, so, and the referee considers it necessary to support the proposed project for the next 3 years. Any referee reports doesn't contain any remarks or criticism, so we can consider them also as positive. Yes.
Thank you very much, Oleg. Questions, comments? Or you seem to be too tired and would like to have some dinner already? No, but I can now hardly comment by myself being one of the reviewers. No, nothing. Well, in this case, I think we may consider that the PAC supports also this proposal. Of course, we will go into further details during the general discussion. So let me thank you once again, Pavel.
Thank you very much.
So this means this is the end of our session for today. Just stay with us because within 40 minutes or something like this, the reception will be open here just in this house. So it makes no sense to go back to the hotel. Thank you. And we will reconvene tomorrow morning, unfortunately, again at 9 o'clock.